says to leave the past alone. I just wanted you to know, sometimes driving home at night, I let your memory take control, and you're sitting by my side. I turned up the radio, cruise down old Route 59. Girl, it's solid gold. Well, I'll let you go, I just wanted you to know. I heard your life has turned out well. As for mine, you know it's really hard to tell. 'Cause now and then, what might have been interferes with what might be. And I just wanted you to know, sometimes driving home at night, I let your and you're sitting by my side.
This is a special report from ABC News. Gates withdraws. I'm Michelle Franzen. Former Congressman Matt Gates withdrawing his name from the nomination to be Attorney General. It comes a day after Gates facing scrutiny over allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use while he was a congressman, met with senators who would be holding confirmation hearings. ABC's Jay O'Brien says it appears Gates couldn't clear a path to the 50 votes needed by the Senate to be confirmed.
He just didn't have what he needed out of Senate Republicans to get this over the goal line. And Matt Gaetz acknowledges it. But the reality here is, if Donald Trump wanted to put Matt Gaetz through the traditional Senate confirmation process, which would mean a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee and a vote on the Senate floor, he would need the support of some moderate Republican senators who had expressed, a number of them, skepticism.
The president-elect in a statement thanking Gates for his efforts and says he believes he has a bright future. This is ABC News. A new scam alert from the Better Business Bureau as we head into the holiday shopping season.
The Better Business Bureau says scammers often using fake ads on social media, sometimes offering deep discounts on popular or hard-to-find items. Now, the study says the most popular scams involve viral items, beauty products, exercise shoes, puppies, even rare animals. Spotting a scam is not that easy, though, but here are some red flags. Items offered at a deep discount, a popular item sold by an unknown retailer, and the seller asks that you pay through a payment app rather than a credit card.
ABC's Whit Johnson. Artwork titled Comedian by an Italian artist just sold for $6.2 million at auction. That piece is a banana taped to the wall with silver duct tape. Justin Sun, a cryptocurrency tycoon, bought it. After the sale, he posted on X he will personally eat the banana as part of his unique artistic experience. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. When sending a package, why venture outside? Ship with USPS for a true holiday ride. Want to stay cozy and warm? There's no need to roam. With free package pickup and labels printed from home, we have over 600,000 employees always in motion. And before you know it, your gift has delivered emotion. Spread the holiday joy this season with USPS's enhanced network. Learn more at usps.com/holidayride.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
want a sheet on your
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Want a sheet on your
or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Want a sheet on your
maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you? Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
want a sheet on your with Bounce!
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ehlin. The Evers administration now projects the state of Wisconsin will finish the 2023-25 budget with a $4 billion surplus. That's more than the $3.5 billion that was expected. First look at projected revenues for the 2025-27 state budget shows an additional $644.5 million the first year and just over $382 million the second year. That's 2.9% and 1.7% respectively. The new projections set the stage for more disagreement between the Democratic governor and Republicans who hold a majority in the legislature over what to do with the surplus. The man behind the wheel in a drunk driving crash that killed four siblings nearly a year ago will learn his fate tomorrow.
Dozens of letters to a Waupaca County judge have requested the maximum sentence for 48-year-old Scott Farmer, who pleaded no contest in August to charges including a fifth OWI and four counts of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. The December 16th crash on Highway 10 in Waiawiga killed siblings Fabian, Lillian, Daniela, and Daniel Gonzalez, ranging in age from 9 to 26 years old. Farmer was driving the wrong way with a blood alcohol content over 3.5%. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Mauston school officials say the district may dissolve if residents don't approve a referendum.
The school board approved a measure allowing for dissolution on Monday after a pair of spending questions failed the last two elections. Superintendent Joel Heesch says the district will run out of money when the 2026 school year starts. The board is considering cutting all athletics, field trips, clubs, and closing an elementary school next year just to stay afloat. Mauston is the largest school district in Juneau County, and it's unclear what would happen if the district folds. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It was time to make our own Christmas traditions. For years, we've been trekking to both sets of in-laws, both Christmas dinners. It was just too much. So this year, we started to look for a place to get together in Alexandria, Minnesota. Christmas lights that will light up our kids' faces, a new adventure, create some wonder. It makes us wonder, why didn't we do this sooner?
Start planning your time together in the Lakes area. Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. More clouds than sunshine today and breezy winds, whipping around 30 to 40 miles per hour. Pulling out of the northwest, this keeps our high temperatures today to the low 40s. They stay feisty tonight too as we flirt with the freezing mark, and for tomorrow, still cloudy, still around 40. Alexandria, Minnesota. Great for winter getaways and holiday fun. ExploreAlex.com. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Carbon and biofuels going. What do observers think the odds are for the carbon pipeline to actually move product? And what about the federal support for carbon capture programs? What's the outlook under the Trump administration?
Live with a bit of a chill in the air via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Monty Shaw from the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. Then it's Phil Flynn from the Price Futures Group. And directly following the news, Neville Spear from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. Glad that you are making some time for us on this chilly Thursday morning. 34 degrees, 34 degrees. The wind is blowing like a son of a gun, and once again, it feels like it's 15 degrees out there. Welcome to winter. It's here.
37 degrees and sunny here. Although I'm looking here, you know, they kind of run a little bit of a visibility here in Kansas City, 18 miles. Although, I'd have to see through the neighbor's house first, but 18 miles. We're running about 5 degrees below average here in Kansas City.
So, yeah, right.
But the sun is shining, so what are you going to do?
If we're going to go all that way, I've got to say that our visibility is perfectly clear here as well. 15-mile visibility. Uh-huh. How you doing? Everything okay?
Oh, man. I feel good today. I don't know what it is. I'm just like right down the line today. How about you?
I got an idea what it might be.
The Grundy County Fracas is on today. Oh my gosh, Tiny Blue Enigma. I love you boys so much. I'm there in spirit, Chip. I'm there in spirit. The timing just isn't working out for me to get there, but it's going to be Grundy Center versus DNH for the state championship today.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to see that thing go down. So I was on where they will be playing. I was on the campus of UNI last night to watch the Cyclones play the UNI women.
did your
did the game improve after you texted me, this is going from bad to worse?
No, it did not. Now, here's the thing, though. Okay, and, you know, number one, I'm a Cyclone fan. And was I mad at times during the game last night? Absolutely. Absolutely. Spitting mad at times last night. But we got to see one of the elite performances that we will see in women's college basketball last night with McDermott from UNI. The point guard put up 37 points. Davis, she couldn't miss.
Yeah.
There were times when she could not. She missed a couple of shots. But there were times when she threw the ball up in the air. I just look at my wife and say, well, you know, you got to find a way to just stop her from shooting because she's going to score. Oh, yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. It was,
you know, I took
really,
a weather course.
Special performance.
I took a weather course at the University of Northern Iowa, my alma mater. Yeah.
Yeah. I did too at Iowa State. Let's get to it.
Well, the National Weather Service is looking for unsettled weather across much of the Northeast and Great Lakes. Hello, South Bend. Over the next few days, including the likelihood of heavy snow in the central Appalachians and higher elevations of northeastern Pennsylvania and southern New York. Private exporters report the following daily sales activities. 198,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China. That's for the 24-25 marketing year. In fact, all of these for the 24-25 marketing year. 135,000 metric tons of beans for delivery to unknown. And 133,000 metric tons of soybean cake and meal for delivery to the Philippines. Chip.
Yeah, and we had a really good weekly export sales tally on soybeans, and we've got beans 8 to 10 cents lower this morning. It's kind of a strange morning. Yeah.
Well, the Dow and the S&P 500 both managed gains yesterday, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ ended lower. Deere & Company shares rose 1.8% after the company reported fiscal Q4 earnings surpassing Wall Street's expectations. Equipment sales totaled $8.5 billion. Chip, that was below the anticipated $9.2 billion. I'm calling that a pretty sizable miss there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely it is. And there's more shutdowns, more slowdowns in production coming for Deere.
Yep. Well, California Representative Jim Costa announced his bid to replace Representative David Scott as the top Democrat on the House Ag panel. That's a key role in shaping the next multi-trillion-dollar farm bill. Negotiations are projected to continue into next year. Costa's challenge raises questions about Scott's ability to lead amid ongoing concerns about his health and the stalled farm bill. Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith and Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas have raised alarms over the financial struggles facing American farmers, warning that one in five could be pushed out of business due to declining farm income, high production costs, and soaring interest rates. And just to make a little hat trick here of economic news, Ag Bankers report mounting financial pressure with a 40% surge in new operating loans and signs of growing debt distress in the Central Plains and Midwest, Chip.
But the conversations that we've had with bankers so far indicate the farmers are paying their loans, making their loan payments. So that debt distress is, while it's increasing, I think it still remains very low.
Well, finally here, Chip, Russia launched an intercontinental ballistic missile targeting Ukraine in a dramatic and provocative move, likely in response to Ukraine's reported first use of British-made Storm Shadow cruise missiles. President Biden recently shifted policies, now permitting Ukraine to utilize long-range missiles and providing anti-personnel landmines now, further enhancing Ukraine's tactical options. Chip.
Yep, we will talk more about that as the show proceeds. All right, thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Neville Spear, contributing editor to Drovers. Good morning, Neville.
Good morning, Chip. How are you?
Doing just great, just great. Talk to me about cow slaughter. What are the numbers telling you?
Yeah, the numbers are really important. Of course, the overall number, what we always hear is that cow slaughter this year is down 10 or 13 or 15% versus a year ago. What really matters, though, is the relative culling rate, right? It's because we started with a smaller number of only 28.2 million cows. So far, we've culled, you know, somewhere about 2.4 million. That's versus 2.88 million last year. Okay. But the important thing is we're at about 8.5%. Okay. We know that we're going to probably cull another 2% through November and December. Probably puts us at about 10 to 10.5% for the year. What's really important, that all gets really wonky and we start talking about regressions and historical stuff.
Yep, yep.
But the bottom line is we're probably taking out another 400,000, 300,000 cows. We're down in January of 2025. This has not been a rebuilding year, period.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not been a rebuilding year. We need to start at some point. The question is when?
That's the million trillion dollar question, right? And I think the point is we'll know it when we see it. I think what's really interesting about this wheat pasture, though, you know, we always look at heifer numbers in the feed yards is kind of an indication. You know, we might see heifers go out on wheat pasture that we haven't seen. It's so good right now out there. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good, man. That is good news. Neville, thank you so much. I appreciate you, man.
Always great to talk with you, Chip. Thank you.
All right, Neville Spear, contributing editor to Drovers. Coming up next, let's keep the conversation about biofuels going. We've got Monty Shaw, Executive Director, Renewable Fuels Association, next.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more, because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand, never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, the Nasgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential of every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Nasgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Stop hoping for the best with your dry fertilizer. Apply Titan XC, a powerful biocatalyst that optimizes the breakdown of your dry fertilizer for increased nutrient availability and uptake. Power crop performance next season and maximize your yield, even with variable weather, prices, or soil types, with Titan XC. Visit cropfertility.com or contact your local Nutrien Ag Solutions crop consultant to learn more.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob.
Like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie, or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
What's
the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Pivot Bio. Protect yield potential with a new mode of action in nitrogen. See how Pivot Bio fits into your fertility plan at TalkNitrogen.com.
AgriTalk on the radio. Over.
Well done, and welcome back to AgriTalk. I am Chip. That was I mean, I feel like I need to go with some kind of a call signal now, or call name now, instead of just saying that was Davis Michelson.
I wonder what it would be.
It'd be News Guy 1. Is that News Guy simple? 1? Yeah.
No, I like that. I can remember that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what was
Excellent.
It? Excellent. Okay.
Davis, this week, we have been talking a lot about biofuels, a lot about carbon.
Oh, just this week?
Yeah, just this week.
Okay.
But at certain points in the conversation, I feel like it's necessary to have a conversation with Monty Shaw, the executive director of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, just because he kind of helps me reset, reset the conversation and ground it and ground the conversation. And it was time. It was time to get Monty back in here. We've got him on the line. Monty, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, but for today, can you just refer to me as Rubber Duck and I've got a convoy?
Sure.
People of a certain age will get. People of a certain age might remember that. But anyway, sorry. I'm doing okay.
That's right. Good.
I just spent 3 days in Washington, D.C., but I'm back in Iowa, so I feel better.
Okay, that's excellent. What did you learn or what did you educate on while you were out there in D.C.?
There's a lot of change going on. I had a boss one time who said that in D.C., Congress is like 535 ants floating on a stick down the Potomac, and each one of them think they're in charge. And with the transition going on out there, there's a lot of that. I mean, as we went from office to office, even within the Iowa delegation, a lot of different opinions on what might be done, what might be doable, short term, long term. So we just got to push. A lot of uncertainty. Is the Biden administration going to do something on 45Z before they leave on January 20th? If not, what's that mean under a Trump administration? Lots of questions, but we can dig into them.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I want to get there for sure. But we've talked a lot about Summit Carbon Solutions, the CO2 pipeline this week. Matter of fact, we had Lee Blank on earlier this week to give us an update. From the industry's perspective, Monty, what is the status of this pipeline? Is it going to carry product?
Well, you know, I'm a glass half full kind of guy, and there's a lot of smart people who've invested a lot of money in that project, and they're still working. They're working today. If they weren't, I'd be nervous, right? Iowa, we've got the permit. You know, North Dakota, we've got the permit for the path. They've got to get the sequestration permit, but there's been others of those already approved in North Dakota. So I don't, you know, knock on wood, I don't see that as a problem. So it really comes down to South Dakota. And, you know, based on this permit application they just put in this week, they have worked with counties. They have worked with landowners. They have made, I don't even know how many thousands of small changes to try to accommodate, as well as big changes to try to accommodate some of the county wishes and some of the individual landowner wishes. And at this point in time, we're at a point where we have to decide, are we still going to allow things to be built in the Midwest and have an economic future? Or are we going to just say make it regulatorily impossible to build things? And in agriculture, if you're not building, you're dying. And if you don't believe me, go look at a small, sleepy town in rural England where they made it impossible to build things. And you got a whole bunch of blue-haired people and nobody else. Because there is no economic opportunity there. So I really hope South Dakota gets this right.
Okay. All right. Hey, Monty, how much of the future of this pipeline project is based on federal incentives?
Well, I mean, first of all, you got the 45Q that goes out a long ways, even if 45Z, you know, which is a shorter program, goes away. So I think the base is set for that. People don't remember this. But these pipeline projects started while Donald J. Trump was president. His tax bill, his tax cut bill, enhanced and extended the 45Q to a point to where these projects made sense. So they all started before Biden was ever elected, before the 45Z was ever here. So I don't see Trump coming in and doing anything to undo what he already started. So, you know, you've got the project in Nebraska that does actually hop over and catch one Iowa plant. It seems to be going well. You've got people in other states that can go straight down. They're doing stuff. So I think this industry is going to happen. The question is, do we hit the easy button and make it economically exciting for Iowa and South Dakota and North Dakota farmers, some in Minnesota, or do we make it really hard? And then plants have to invest in literally tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of other types of carbon reducing equipment in order to try to play in this new world, because too many people think this is being driven by domestic policy. It's not. It's being driven because airlines fly all over the world. It's being driven because ships go from port to port all over the world. The world policies are driving the demand for low carbon biofuels. We're just trying to supply the product that our customer wants. And quite frankly, we're swimming in corn, right? What? Yep. And the projections are to get worse over the next 10 years, according to USDA. What are the big markets that are out there to grind corn? I'm sorry, livestock's not going to grow that much. Love livestock, love eating my meat, but you've got E15, which could provide a short-term, really important boost in demand if we could get that year-round through Congress. And then you've got these new major markets that would take up billions of bushels of corn if we unlock them, like sustainable aviation fuel, sustainable marine fuel, sustainable railroad fuel, and you name it. But they all have one thing in common. They all want super low carbon ethanol. So we've got to give the tools. We've got to make this available or we're going to just slowly sink.
Yeah. Monty, there is a perception, a thought out in the countryside that the election of President Trump was a signal that voters want ideas like carbon sequestration, crop production based on a carbon intensity score. There are some voters out there that believe the election of President Trump was a signal that these concepts are just going to go away. What I'm hearing from you is that's not accurate.
Well, it's not, but it doesn't do any good for me to say, hey, voter, you're stupid. I mean, people have their perceptions, they have their beliefs, but there are also some facts. I respect the voters. You know, I don't always agree with voters. You know, I've been involved in politics since I was an early guy in college and working on campaigns and things like that. So at the end of the day, the voters decide. And even while I might not have agreed with every decision they made over the last 30 years, that's, I would rather have this system than any other. But to answer your question, I would just say there are some facts. The fact is Donald Trump, as president, signed a law that enhanced 45Q. It was created under President George W. Bush, but it was really small, and a couple of small projects in Kansas got done around enhanced oil recovery. That was about it. Trump came in and worked with people who wanted to make this happen, primarily from the oil industry, and they enhanced and extended 45Q. That is when all these pipeline projects started to get to work. Now, is it true that when Biden came in and they passed the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, that it boosted it even more? Yeah, then it went from, hey, these are economically viable to, oh my goodness, if you're not on a pipeline, you're going to be in big trouble. And that's when we got really involved. But even if you roll back the IRA, you would still have the Trump 45Q sitting there, and these projects would still make economic sense. And the other fact I would tell them is the new markets are being driven by worldwide policy. Show me another market that will grind 5 billion bushels of corn over the next 20 years, which is what we got to do. We got 5 billion new bushels. If we plant corn on the same acres, we get 5 billion new bushels over the next 20 years. Only these new markets will soak that up that we are aware of today. Otherwise, we're just going to steadily roll back into the 90s and, God forbid, the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Great perspective there, Monty. We've only got a minute left. Lee Zeldin, tell me about him. What do we need to know?
Well, a couple things. I mean, he's a New York, Long Island person. You know, he signed on to the anti-renewable fuel standard bills, kind of like other people do, but usually, you know, when the leadership tells them to. But when they have a bigger job, a broader job that encompasses the whole country, you know, it's just a matter of education. It does appear that a lot of these people will be reporting through Governor Doug Burgum as the energy czar in the White House. And he really gets us. He spent time here during the Iowa caucuses. He has a biofuels industry in North Dakota and oil. So he has practice in balancing these things out. So we just need to educate Mr. Zeldin. He has an open invitation to Iowa to come visit some plants and farms anytime he wants. I think we'll be okay at the end of the day.
All right. Monty, mission accomplished, man. Thank you so much for making time for us and helping me put some perspective in my own mind on what we've been talking about on AgriTalk this week. Thank you, my friend.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Monty Shaw, Executive Director, Iowa Renewable Fuels Association.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. But if just one little piggy catches African swine fever, piggies everywhere will be in danger. African swine fever is highly contagious and fatal. It could wipe out America's pig population. That's why the USDA is urging pig producers, farmers, and veterinarians to know the signs of African swine fever. Learn more by searching Protect Our Pigs at USDA.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Hey there, Mondovi. This is Kendra Edwards. Great news for our community. Amplify Health by Gunderson is coming to town. Soon, you'll have top-notch family and children's medicine right at your doorstep. Whether it's a quick checkup or care for acute and chronic illnesses, we've got you covered. Stay tuned for the grand opening, and let's get ready to welcome Amplify Health to Mondovi.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 15 to 19 even, January down 21 to 1879, February down 16 to 1904, March milk down 26 at 1915. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, live cattle markets continue to move mostly lower due to that concern on consumer demand, but feeder cattle still move higher as there's still some strength, at least in the countryside, and for feeder cattle, and that is helping to support the feeder cattle markets. A lot of positioning ahead of that export inspections report. Hog markets as well moving mostly higher on strength and pork cutout values and some short covering from yesterday. December live cattle down 50 cents to 185.80. November feeder cattle up 17 cents to 254.97. December hogs up 20 cents to 80.72. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat, or corn and soybeans rather, moving mostly lower today as the South American weather forecast remains favorable for the next few weeks. That allows some areas to see one of their best starts to the growing season in years. Meanwhile, wheat is moving higher due to the escalations in the Russia-Ukraine war. December corn down 1 3/4 to 428.5. New crop 25 down 2 1/4 to 438 3/4. January beans down 6.5 to 984. December wheat up 0.5 to 553.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Man, good conversation there with Monty Shaw. We'll probably pull a couple of highlights from that conversation at the end of the show, because right now I don't want to take any time away from the conversation with Phil Flynn, energy analyst at Price Futures Group. Phil, it is great to talk to you again. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm looking out my window at a blizzard. That's what I'm doing. I'm in Lake Geneva. It looks like the beginning of Santa Claus is coming to town, you know, or Rudolph or one of those. And I see a mail truck that just slid into a pole, but I think he's okay. He's walking around, so I think he'll be all right. But it's unbelievable.
Well, you know, you're painting the picture for us, knowing what you're dealing with. We saw some of that here yesterday, but it's already melted off. It has melted off here, and we've got some sunshine. It's cold and windy out there, so, yeah, you know, it's an energy consumption time of the year, isn't it, Phil?
It is, and, you know, I'm already hearing from natural gas producers that are secretly smiling about early start of the winter, because they've been taking it on the chin, right? They keep producing, and nobody wants to use it. We haven't had a real winter for years, and so they're getting a little frustrated. So there are some people that are happy about this, not the guy whose truck that slid into the pole, but everybody else seems to be a little bit happy about it.
That's right. That's right. What is the headline in the energy markets this morning, Phil?
It's got to be geopolitical risk and weather, right? And, you know, we're definitely very concerned about what's happening between Russia and the Ukraine. And interestingly enough, it almost had more impact on the stock market with the escalation overnight, or the alleged escalation from Russia using either an ICBM or a short-range missile. Regardless, we're starting to see a situation where this could be spinning out of control. And the question is, why? I mean, why are we ratcheting up the tensions, you know, when we have a new incoming administration, a new administration that basically, you know, is talking about ending this conflict? Why are we ramping it up now? It's mind-boggling, and the markets, of course, are looking at it the same way.
Okay, exactly. Okay, but here's the deal, Phil. We've got the developments in that Russian war with Ukraine. They've kind of freaked me out this week. The North Korean troops, the open talk about a nuclear option. I've gotten freaked out about it, but the markets have not, which means I'm missing something. What are we missing?
You know, I think what they're missing is that the market's complacent about it, right? We've heard the threats from Putin before that he'll use the nuclear option. In fact, it reminded me, I'm old enough to remember, you know, when the Soviet Union was in power, and in school, we used to have to practice for nuclear attacks. Just a reminder, you go under the desk and shut the windows. See, I remember, which I may have to do today. But no, I think the market's complacent. I think, you know, it's almost like we have two markets. We definitely saw some fear premium go in today when the report came that Russia up the ante a little bit. We saw the stock market sell off. But I think on the flip side, there's a lot of optimism about the incoming administration, the promise of artificial intelligence really transforming the economy going forward, and the promise by the Trump administration that we might actually start to think about cutting out some of the government waste, which could be an amazing driving force for markets and investment in the U.S.
Okay. I want to stay on Russia-Ukraine here for just a bit longer, because I cannot imagine that the rest of Europe would just lay down if Russia makes a move into a NATO country. They've got to have a plan, don't they? And Putin, I got to believe, knows what that plan is.
You know, this should have never got to this point. I mean, this is craziness, right? And we have this quagmire, you know, between Russia and Ukraine. You know, I would argue that it's almost like Europe, you know, kind of wanted it to happen. And I know that sounds harsh, but it sure seems that, you know, with the policies of not engaging Putin and, you know, putting some of the former satellite states into NATO, which they agreed that they wouldn't do, and then they did. And listen, I'm not taking sides here. Putin's not a great guy. He's not a good guy, right? But at the same time, it seems like there was a provoked situation. So now we're at this point where we're getting into uncertainty. I mean, do we get to the nuclear option? Do we get to World War III? You know, we don't know. We hope that cooler heads prevail. But that's why it's just mind-boggling that it seems like the Biden administration wanted to ramp up the tensions, you know, on the way out the door and not even talk to the press of why. You know, it's just like, hey, I think we're going to do this. We're going to let you use these missiles. Let's really start to rock things up. I don't know if he wants to leave a mess for the new administration or he has some master plan. But if he has a master plan, I sure haven't seen it.
Right, right. Okay. How are these energy markets going to change over the next 4 years under the Trump administration, Phil?
There's joy in Mudville, I'm telling you. I'm hearing from producers around the country that I talk to all the day. They are so relieved, right? And lots of them, you know, originally during Trump's first term weren't necessarily all Trumpers, right? You know, they didn't like the way that they handled some of the oil production with Iran and that kind of stuff. But now they realize the alternative, right? And the alternative was massive uncertainty in the industry. You know, do we invest in new pipelines? Are they going to kill us? Are they going to hit us with new regulations? These ESG things, are we going to be called, you know, are we building racist pipelines? Things, you know, just madness that really hurt, I think, our future, right, and our credibility. But we're already seeing great signs from the Trump administration. They're already talking about restarting the Keystone Pipeline on day one. Now, whether TL Energy wants to do that may be a different question. But we are going to see a lot of interest from Canadian pipeline builders. So that's going to be a huge plus for the global economy, for our economy. And then, of course, it's calling out, you know, the green energy cabal around the world that has been stealing money, you know, that we've been from these governments, like the International Energy Agency, which really is not an energy security agency. Now it's a green energy lobbyist, which is not what their job is. And so they're going to call them out and maybe even pull their funding if they don't clean up their act.
Okay. All right. As a global energy analyst, Phil, are you paying much attention to the CO2 pipeline, the Carbon Summit Solution? The Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline in the Midwest?
I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it directly about that pipeline, but I'm not surprised, and that's going to be the future, right? And so I believe that the future is with fossil fuels. That's part of the solution. And being smarter about reducing carbon is the answer, right? It's not trying to ban a fuel that we're going to need to keep the economy going. So, and while I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about that particular pipeline, I am under the assumption if you allow the energy industry to do their jobs, they're going to come up with solutions that are going to be a lot more effective than the government trying to dictate, you know, what kind of car you should buy or what kind of stove you should have.
Oh, man. So you gave me so many things to think about in that short answer right there, Phil. Thank you. What role are biofuels going to play in this administration's energy policy? Because it's so easy to look back and say, well, there were so many small refinery exemptions for, under the Trump administration 1.0. But it feels like because of investments in things like renewable diesel that biofuels are changing under Trump 2.0.
They are. I mean, listen, we're seeing a new era of energy dominance, right? And I think the Trump administration has made it very clear, you know, they're not going to go out of their way to favor one energy source or another, right? I mean, they want all sources of energy. They want biofuel. Yeah. They want nuclear, even though President Trump said, you know, nuclear is pretty expensive. It's going to be hard to do. They want natural gas. And, you know, sometimes if you get caught up in the minutia, there's going to be some people that might be happy with some of the policies that come down and how they realign the budget. But at the end of the day, if these fuels are viable, they're going to be part of the solution. And, okay. And Chip, the one thing I know is that we're going to need all of these fuels, and we're going to try to be carbon friendly, and we're going to be smarter about it.
That's a great point. Great point. What do you make of North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum as Interior Secretary and the Energy Czar?
I'd love it. People that actually, this is an amazing thought. Let's say you were running an energy department, okay? What wouldn't it be interesting if you put somebody on there that actually had experience in energy? I know this blows your mind, right?
Yeah.
But somebody who actually has been in the industry, somebody that understands fracking, somebody who understands pipeline. I just think it's an amazing concept. We should have tried this before. Should have thought of this before.
Put people in place with practical experience, really? It hardly makes any sense at all.
I don't know what they're thinking.
Phil,
you are
genuinely optimistic about the energy field, including biofuels, for the next 4 years.
I am. I mean, listen.
Okay.
We're in such a good position. We're going to be the energy dominant source for the world, and that includes biofuels as well.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Phil, you're always so much fun to talk with. Happy Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you again soon.
You too, my friend. God bless.
All right. Phil Flynn, energy analyst at the Price Futures Group. Davis and I will be right back.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Woohoo! Another girls' night out.
I'm so stressed from shopping. I couldn't find anything.
Have you tried shopping jewelry television, JTV?
I don't know. Everyone in my family is so different.
JTV has thousands of jewelry styles. Artisan, diamonds, pearls, colored gemstones, watches, even gift sets. I shop on TV and online.
New JTV customers save up to $50 when you shop jtv.com/radio.
Now can you relax?
Yes. Another round?
Yes.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is proud to offer a 10% military discount on many items. Get details at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Wouldn't you like to stop feeling self-conscious about your receding hairline or thinning hair? Millions of men and women around the world trust Hair Grow from New Nordic as an effective way to get thicker-looking hair. Ask for Hair Grow at your local Walgreens or shop online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Joining us is Larry Lemke. He is from Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado. Larry, talk to me about some of the challenges that you face and other farmers face as well, and how you are managing those challenges.
Well, a little over 20 years ago, we had a pretty severe drought that kind of pushed me away from farming. And then in 2013, we had a pretty severe flood, which brought me back to the farm. So with all that back and forth kind of stuff and me being engaged in the farm again, it's like, well, how do we fix this? What are we going to do? We've had some good technology and some really poor technology lead us to where we are with a lot of soil and water degradation, and now we're trying to turn that back to see if we can straighten things up.
Okay, what's got you most excited about what you're doing on your farm?
Basically, what we're trying to do is emulate nature. Instead of trying to force massive yields and maximize everything and keep the banker, the fertilizer company, the seed company, and the chemical company in business, we're trying to keep Mother Nature in business, trying to add the organic matter back in. The other thing is, you know, I see a lot of my neighbors, you drive across western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and you see all those beautiful wheat fields all in those strips, not a weed out there. And that's actually not the way it works, you know. We've had some technology that has not been the best things for us, like the strip farming. We found that that's been really hard on the soil, and so if we get our soil biome straightened back up, get that organic matter in place so we can get the moisture that we do get into the ground instead of running off so that we can prolong things, I think we're going to be headed back in the right direction.
You can get more of Larry's story at investinourland.org. Thanks, Larry. That is Larry Lemke, Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado. Jeff Ellis is a technical services manager at AMVAC. Jeff, we're talking about Index for rootworm control. What do you want growers thinking about as they make plans for 2025?
You know, when they think about Index, I think about consistency of control. I think about return on investment, you know, all the key things that our grower looks at. When you think about all this and you're looking ahead to 2025, you have to be proactive in controlling corn rootworm larvae and many other underground pests. So, you know, it's really key to pay attention to kind of what we're seeing at the end of the season. And we're seeing a lot of beetles in the field right now. And many professionals think that we're going to have a pretty tough year next year. Many of the key corn growing regions in the Midwest are labeled as high risk. So it's paid to be a pretty tough year in 2025 with regard to corn rootworm pressure.
All right, Jeff, thank you. That is Jeff Ellis, Technical Services Manager at AMVAC. To learn more, head to www.amvac.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long N to your crop. Learn how ESN works at smartnitrogen.com.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Really glad that you have decided to hang out with me and Chip here this morning on this Thursday morning. Chip, it's going to be a great day.
Do you
concur?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's been an interesting, thought-provoking, it's the conversation with Monty reminded me that I need to spend a little bit more time going back and looking exactly what was supported and how it was supported, some of the energy policies under Trump 1.0. I mean, for me, Davis, every time I think about energy and biofuels under Trump 1.0, I think about I think about all the small refinery exemptions. I think about, and Jordan Fife brought this perspective to us here a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago already, that during the Trump administration, well, during Obama, there was a 40-plus cent positive margin on average for ethanol. Under Biden, there's been a 40-plus cent on average positive margin for ethanol. Under Trump, it was a negative two cents for the entire time. So a lot of guys were break even at best. It was the analysis that we got from Jordan. But the big difference is now the investment that some of those refiners have made in the renewable effort, in the low carbon fuels going forward. So that might change things a bit to begin with. But as we got reminded by Monty, maybe the low carbon efforts were not started by the Trump administration, but in some cases like the 45Q, they were enhanced under the Trump administration. We can't forget that as we look forward to what it might mean for biofuels going forward.
Well, and Shaw drilled it down. It was a really interesting conversation because he drilled it down to the local level, but then the conversation turned to the global demand scene, and even when we brought in Phil Flynn. But Shaw's comment about, are we going to equip the Midwest in infrastructure and in all of these things to continue to grow opportunity for the Midwestern economy or not?
Yeah.
I thought that was a great question. Boiled it clear down.
Right. And the perspective that Monty brought to the conversation about, you know, if we're going to stand still with these biofuels, we're going to suffer going forward. And, you know, I don't know if we will actually have another 5 billion bushels of corn that we're going to have to use over the next 20 years. But with the way that the production trends are going, a 20 billion bushel corn crop over the next 20 years does not seem, you know, out of the realm of possibility. So what are we going to do with those bushels? Are biofuels going to be part of the answer on what we're going to do with those bushels? Well, if they are, they're probably going to be of the low carbon variety, one way or another. So as we think about how this goes forward, you know, the low carbon variety has to be in the conversation. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be from, and you know, I've how many times have I talked about this on the show, Davis? You know, the climate smart farming projects and efforts that are out there. I don't know if that is going to be the effort going forward or not. But I do think that low carbon fuels are going to be part of the effort. It's just a question of how we are going to get there. And I think you got to look at all efforts on how we're going to get there. Is it going to be through producers lowering their carbon intensity score? Is it going to be through carbon capture at the ethanol production plants? Is it going to be, and once we've done the carbon capture, what do we do with it? You know, we've had some people on the show, Iowa State Senator Guth talked about green methanol. And the interest that we are getting from the marine industry and shipping industry on using some of the green methanol for fuel. There's a lot of directions that this can go, Davis, and hopefully the conversations that we've had this week have presented many different, lines of thought on this. And you know what? I got to mention the farmer forum that we had with Tim Recker and Randy Ermacher this week too. Both of those guys had some really good thoughts on what the future of the biofuels industry might mean for their operations. It's been an interesting week, dude.
Well,
and we're not done.
No, we got like 3 shows yet to do, and we're not even done with this show. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we got a ways to go. No telling what might happen. Is Brazilian ethanol cleaner than U.S. ethanol, or is it just more convenient, cheaper?
I don't know if cleaner is the right way to put it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But you know, is it more efficient to make ethanol from sugar cane than it is to make it from corn? That's the argument. That's why we're seeing the experiments with that cane-based ethanol from Brazil for sustainable aviation fuel, because it's that much more efficient that it has a smaller carbon footprint.
And
here we are. You know, we got to continue to grow this market one way or another if we're going to continue to grow agriculture. Man, oh man, good conversations.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being part of the conversations. We've got Craig Van Dyke, Keystone Cooperative, this afternoon on AgriTalk.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Eh, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first and you could save